Thank you, David, for leading us in prayer a few moments ago. Appreciate that good prayer, brother. Thank you, Max, for leading us in that very encouraging, uplifting hymn, There Is a God. What a beautiful hymn. Very encouraging, uplifting hymn. Appreciate Max leading us in that. Appreciate the good reading Steve just gave to us there from the scripture there in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And I'd like to encourage everyone to keep your Bibles opened up there to 1 Timothy chapter 2, because we're going to begin there with our lesson titled this morning, What Shall I Wear? That's a good question, isn't it? That's a question that I venture to say that each and every one of us probably even asked ourselves this morning as we were preparing to dress for today. And we need to be mindful that this past Wednesday marked the first official day of summer for the year 2023. Did you know that? The official first day of summer was this past Wednesday. And it is now that we have once again come to that time of the year when many will be prone to be shedding clothes in an attempt to stay cool and find relief from the summer heat. And many will likewise be more prone to underdressing this time of the year in an attempt to not only keep themselves from the summer heat, but also in an attempt to keep up with the latest and so-called hippest summer fashion trends. You see, knowing this, As God's people, as we prepare to get out and about this summer, a question that each and every one of us need to daily consider and ask ourselves is, what shall I wear? Again, I know this is a question that typically many ask themselves every day, no matter what time of the year it is. But as God's children, we need to ask ourselves this question each and every day. And when we consider this question, there are several things that we would do well to take in consideration. So with that thought in mind, let's make our appeal to the scriptures this morning as we examine the question, what shall I wear? And I begin by suggesting to you that when we ask ourselves the question, what shall I wear, we should all answer with, I should wear clothing that is modest. It's important to note that the word modest is defined as decent, orderly, well-arranged. And did you know, if you was paying attention to the reading that Steve so ably gave to us a few moments ago, God's desire is for his people to adorned themselves in what? Modest apparel. Did you catch that? Let's go back there to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And notice with me again in picking up in verse number 8, Paul here is giving his desire for the men and women in the church. And notice what he says here. He says, I desire therefore that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Verse 9 he says, in like manner also, that the women, now pay attention, adorn themselves, how Paul? In modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. I want to take a moment to point out that although Paul is addressing his desire for the women here, that it's just as applicable for the men also. To be mindful of the need to adorn themselves in modest apparel. And again, when we see here that it is God's will for his people to adorn themselves in modest apparel, he's simply expressing the need for people to dress in a decent, orderly, well-arranged manner. And when you think about that, when you think about modesty, and when you think about dressing modesty, how it denotes clothing oneself in such a way to be respected. That's a good, easy, simple definition. When you think about the definition of dressing modestly, clothing oneself in a way to be respected. Obviously, immodesty would be just the opposite of that, right? And we need to first and foremost recognize that modesty on the outside, guess where it first stems? It first stems on the inside. If we're going to adorn ourselves in modest apparel, our outside appearance, it's first got to stem from in here, doesn't it? It's first got to come from the inside. And some may be asking, well, Brad, how do I distinguish? How do I distinguish the difference between modest and immodest dress? Have you ever wondered that before? Have you ever wondered, well, what's the difference? How do I make the distinction between that which is modest and that which is immodest? Well, let me give you a few examples of that to help you out with that piece, if you've ever contemplated that. First and foremost, I suggest to you that if you wear clothing that exposes the breast, buttocks, abdomen, your abdomen, or your thighs, it's immodest. It's immodest. If you're wearing clothing that's going to expose the breast, the buttocks, the thighs, the stomach, it's immodest. I'll also help you out and give you some more examples. Here's another thing. If you're wearing clothing and you constantly have to go around pulling your pants up, pulling your clothing up, it's immodest. And I venture to say we see that a lot, right? I don't know what it is with young men these days, but they have this fad where they want to wear their jeans instead of them being wrapped around their waist, they're around their knees. And they're always going around having to pull their pants up. Well, if you're going around having to pull your pants up, if you have to constantly pull your drawers up, your dress is immodest. But on the flip side of that coin, let me suggest this to you. If you're going around, and again, there's a lot of young ladies today who I see wearing those, what I call tug-em shorts. Those tug-em shorts or those tug-em skirts, they're always going around and they're having to constantly tug them or pull them down. Well, guess what? If you're going around and not only are you having to constantly pull your drawers up, but if you're always tugging at them, trying to pull them down and make them longer, it's immodest. We need to be mindful of that. We need to understand that we need to make a distinction and recognize what the distinction is between modest and immodest dress. You see, we need to, again, as God's people, recognize that when it comes to dress, we need to seek to dress ourselves in a way that is decent, orderly, well arranged. And we need to always remember, brethren, when we ask ourselves, what shall I wear? That it is the will of God that we should wear modest apparel. But I also suggest to us, when we consider the question, what shall I wear? We should always answer that question with, I should wear clothing that reflects my profession of godliness with good works. You know what that word godliness means? You know what that means? That word godliness denotes moral uprightness and devoutness to God. And those who promote godliness, guess what they're going to do? They're going to respect God's will. They're going to conform to His will. And they're going to do His will. Good works can be denoted or defined as a person's exterior actions or deeds. And when you think about the question, what shall I wear? Our answer should be, I need to wear clothing that will reflect my profession of godliness and good works. You see, if we are truly a people who are pursuing godliness, guess what? It will be reflected in the way we dress. Did you know that? Did you know that? If we are going to be a people who truly, truly pursue to be devoted to our God, to conform to His will, it's going to reflect in the way we even dress. You see, When it comes down to it, the way we dress will either promote one or two things. The way we dress will either promote one or two things. It'll either promote godliness or it'll promote worldliness. You ever think about that? It's either going to promote godliness or it's going to promote worldliness. It's going to be one or the other. And sadly, there are just more today who are interested in being like the world and accepted by the world than there are people who are interested and more concerned about pleasing God. And you want to know? The way people dress today is a reflection of that, isn't it? It's a reflection of that. How sad. It's sad that even some of our own brethren care more about being accepted by the world and being pleasing to those who are around them and fitting in with those that are around them than they are about pleasing God. And I'm here to tell you, brethren, that should never be. That should never be. We need to recognize that when it comes to asking ourselves the question, what shall I wear? Our answer should always be, I should wear that which would be pleasing to God. I should wear that which would be a profession of my godliness with good works. And when it comes down to it, we need to decide which side we're going to take. Are we going to choose to dress like the world, to conform to the ways of the world, to be accepted by the world, to dress in a way that's pleasing to ourselves and that makes us fit in with those of the world? Or are we going to make pleasing God a priority? Which is it going to be? And you want to know something? When it comes down to it, that really ought to solve the issue, shouldn't it? That really ought to solve the issue. When it comes down to it, when we take the stand and we make the decision of making God happy, our priority, and pleasing God a priority, guess what? We're not going to have an issue of immodest dress in the church, are we? It's not going to be an issue, is it? Why is it not going to be an issue? Because we're going to recognize that God's desire is for us to dress modest. You see, wearing clothing that reflects one's profession of godliness with good works will keep one from revealing too much flesh. It will keep one from inappropriately adorning themselves in a way that excites lust in another person. Simply put, dressing in a way that reflects one's profession of godliness, it's going to solve a lot of problems in regard to the topic of immodesty, isn't it? So we need to keep in mind, when we ask ourselves, what shall I wear? We need to ask ourselves, will my clothes reflect godliness with good works? But also suggest to us, when we consider the question of what shall I wear, we always need to ask ourselves, is the clothing that I'm about to put on, is it going to reveal too much flesh, becoming of shame? You see, when considering what we shall wear, we need to ask ourselves, does it reveal too much flesh? Will it cause me or those close to me to be embarrassed? That's a good question. You see, again, sadly, there are many today who need to rediscover the sense of shame associated with decisions having to do with the way we dress ourselves or allow our children to dress. Because, I don't know about you, but I have noticed even some of my own brethren in the church who not only dress themselves in a way that makes me blush. But they also even dress their children in a way which also makes me blush. You see, sadly, it seems like that there are just too many today who have forgot about or don't know how to blush. When I think about that, I'm reminded of God's people of old that we read about back there in Jeremiah chapter 6 and in verse 15. Remember what's said about them? When they committed an abomination against the Lord, they did not know how to blush, nor were ashamed. I think about that with some of my own brethren today when it comes to the way they dress. They don't know how to blush, nor are they ashamed. And sometimes, I've seen it. I've seen some who just prance around and they flaunt their immodest dress as something that they're, let's just say it, they're proud of. But you want to know something? We need to understand that when one exposes the breast, the buttocks, the thighs, things that are exposed, that are not to be exposed to everybody. We need to understand that when people do that, and too many fail to realize that exposure of the buttocks and thighs, did you know, is often associated with that which is shameful and humiliating. Did you know that's how the scriptures look at that? I want to share a couple of examples with you. Go with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 20. Notice this with me. Here in Isaiah chapter 20, in the context here, we see where the prophet's giving this sign against Egypt and Ethiopia. But I just want to pick up and notice with me verses 3 and 4 here in Isaiah 20 to make the point here. To make the point that where the exposing of the buttocks, the exposing of the thigh, how it is associated with that which is shame. It says in verse 3 of Isaiah 20, "Then the Lord said, just as my servant Isaiah has walked naked and barefoot 3 years for a sign and a wonder against Egypt and Ethiopia." Now watch verse 4. "So shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptians as prisoners and the Ethiopians as captives, young and old, naked and barefoot." Now watch it. "With their buttocks uncovered." Why? "To the shame of Egypt." Think about that. Now fast forward with me, if you will, to Isaiah 47, and notice this. Here in Isaiah 47, here again in the context here, it's in regard to the humiliation of Babylon. But I want you to notice, picking up here in verse 1 of Isaiah 47, these words of the prophet. It says, "Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground without a throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For you shall no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Remove your veil. Take off the skirt." Now watch it. "Uncover the thigh. Pass through the rivers." Verse 3 says, "Your nakedness shall be uncovered." Watch it. "Yes, your shame will be seen." You see that? Think about that. Now, I don't know about you, but let's be honest with ourselves. If someone uncovered my buttocks and made me march around and walk in front of the people, I don't know about you, but I'm going to be humiliated. I'm going to be humiliated. I'm going to be flat out embarrassed. But you want to know something? How many, and even some of our own brethren, will go to the beach, will go to the lake, will go to the public pool and expose their buttocks in those two-piece swimsuits and those string bikinis and those thongs? How many do you see do that? You see it, don't you? Let's be honest. You see it. Have you ever noticed them blushing or having a sense of shame when they do that? Again, some of us need to rediscover what it's like to have a sense of shame in our life. You see, I heard one time, and I quote, "Man is the only creature that can blush or needs to blush," end quote. Think about that. Man is the only creature that God made that can blush, that has the ability to blush. But in like respect, man is the only creature that needs to be able to blush and to be ashamed, right? Think about that. You see, I've often, when talking about the topic of immodest dress, I've often asked the question, when it comes to immodest dress, when it comes to choosing to wear that which reveals too much flesh, I often ask the question, if someone would happen to come and knock on your door, and you would happen to be in the middle of dressing and you were just in your underwear, would you go ahead and run down there and open up the door? Would you do that? I venture to say we all would recognize there's no way. There's no way. Not knowing who's on the other side of that door, that I'm going to run down there and I'm going to answer that door in my underwear. It's not going to happen. Well, think about this. What's the difference? When you go to the beach, you go to the lake, and men have nothing on but those skippy shorts, pretty much just underwear. What's the difference when women go to the beach and they go to the lake, they go to the pool, and all they have on is a two-piece bikini, a top that covers some of their breast, and pretty much just a bottoms that are pretty much underwear? What's the difference? Have you ever thought about that? You see, if we wouldn't answer the door in our underwear, then why in the world would we go out in public in our underwear? Think about that. It's common sense, isn't it? Again, we need to be mindful of the fact that although shamefacedness is a rare quality in the times that we live in today, we must understand that it is a quality demanded of those who would please God. Therefore, when we ask ourselves, "What shall I wear?" we need to be mindful that we need to wear clothing that does not reveal too much flesh, becoming of shame. But I also suggest to us this morning, in regard to the question, "What shall I wear?" we need to be mindful that we should not wear clothing that will draw undue attention to ourselves, provoking others to lust. You see, that's another important question we need to ask ourselves when we're choosing what we're going to wear for the day. We need to ask ourselves, will this outfit draw undue or undesired attention to myself by provoking others to lust? You see, again, we must not adorn ourselves with the attire of a harlot. So there are some who are just flat out, that's how they dress, right? They dress and adorn themselves in the attire of a harlot. We learn about that attire of the harlot there in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 10, by the way, don't we? And by the way, what was that woman's goal in dressing like a harlot and speaking that crafty speech? What was her goal? To entice that young man, right? To entice that young man. You know, it's been said when the inventor of the miniskirt was interviewed that it was said that the reason for why the miniskirt was made was for one reason. You want to know what that one reason was? To entice the opposite sex. That's what that miniskirt was made for. That was the purpose of that miniskirt. To entice the opposite sex to lust. You see, we need to understand, brethren, that we must beware of promoting others in a way which may cause them to stumble, be offended, or made weak. Did you know that? Did you know that the scriptures give us warning in regard to being careful about causing another to stumble? No Notice this with me, if you will, there in Romans chapter 14. And there in Romans chapter 14, in the latter part of verse 13, the Apostle Paul makes it very clear that we are not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. It doesn't get any more plain than that, does it? But I want you to notice, fast forwarding down there to verse 21 of Romans 14, these words of the inspired apostle. He says, it is good, now watch it, to neither eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Did you catch that? The inspired apostle said, it's good. It's good, he says, not to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything, key word, anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. You know what that's going to include? The way we dress. Think about that. It's going to be good for us to make sure that we don't do anything by the way we even dress that could cause a brother to stumble, a brother to be offended, or a brother to be made weak. You see, oftentimes, brethren may fail to recognize that mini skirt that they wear, that strapless shirt that they wear, that exposes too much flesh. They fail to realize that could put a stumbling block in a brother's way. They fail to realize not only that could cause a brother to stumble or be made weak, but they also fail to realize that could even offend some. And again, I'm not picking on the ladies, but I'll say this. How many times have you saw a sister in Christ wear a short miniskirt, and some of the other ladies got pretty offended by that? It's happened, hasn't it? And it can happen, can it? And here's the thing. Guys, we're not exempt from that either, right? We need to be careful, too, in the way that we dress. Because we need to recognize that even the way we dress, It can cause others to stumble, to be offended, or to be made weak. And what does the apostle say about that? Don't do anything that could cause your brother to stumble or to be offended or to be made weak. Think about that. And we need to ask ourselves, when we're deciding what we should wear for the day, is what I'm about to put on, is it going to draw undue attention to myself? Could it possibly provoke others to lust? We need to ask ourselves that. And you know what? When we ask ourselves that and we avoid clothing that could give us any doubt, that could possibly bring any undue attention to ourselves or provoke one to lust, guess what? We're going to have a peace of mind. We're going to have a peace of mind in knowing that we have not provoked lust to arise on someone else because of our dress. That's a good thing, isn't it? That's a good thing. But here's another question that we need to consider when we ask ourselves, what shall I wear? We need to ask ourselves the question when we're thinking about what to put on for the day, is what I'm about to wear, is that clothing going to positively help me and my influence as a Christian, or will this clothing hinder my influence as a Christian? That's another question that we need to consider when we consider the question, what shall I wear? You see, did you know that our appearance is usually the first thing that people notice about us? Did you know that? Usually the very first thing people's going to notice about us is our appearance, what we're wearing. And we must understand that what we wear says something about who we are. Did you know that? You see, I ask this question. I want you to think about this. I ask, how can a child of God be an example of what a true believer is in conduct and purity and ignore the principles of modest dress? Think about that. How can a child of God truly be a believer, a true believer in conduct and purity, but yet they ignore the principles of modest dress? How can that be? You see, here's the thing, brethren. The world should not have any trouble identifying us as a Christian. The world should not have any trouble in identifying us as being people of God. And we need to be mindful of that, even when it comes to the way we dress. Not only should the world not have any trouble in identifying us as Christians in the way that we conduct ourselves, but also in the way we dress. You see, when we consider what to wear, we need to ask ourselves, will this outfit help my influence as a Christian, or will it hinder my influence as a Christian? That's important, isn't it? Because you want to know something? We all are going to have influence on people one way or the other. One way or the other, we're all going to have influence on people. It's either going to be in a positive sense or it's going to be in a negative sense. But one way or the other, we're going to influence people. And what did Jesus say to believers there in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16? What was his instruction to them? What did he tell them? Let your light so shine before men. Why? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Simply put, Jesus is saying, be a positive influence on others. Let your light so shine. Be a bright, positive influence on others, so that they may see your good works, but more importantly, so you may glorify God, your Father in heaven. And we need to be mindful of that, brethren, even when it comes to the way we dress. You see, what do you think that neighbor down the road from where you live is going to think when they know you're a Christian? They know that you're a member of the church here at Belleville, and that Sunday morning they know where you're going to be found. They know you're going to be at church. But what do you think they're going to think on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday? They find you at the public pool in your two-piece bikini or in your spandex shorts. What do you think that neighbor's going to think about you? What's that going to tell that person about you? You ever considered that before? I venture to say they're going to think, look at that. Here's this person who professes to be this godly Christian. And then here they are, letting it all hang out for the world to see. I don't want no part of that. Have you ever considered that before? Because I'm here to tell you, not only can it happen, but it does happen. It happens. And we need to be aware of that. We need to understand, as Paul tells the Philippians there in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, that we, as children of God, need to strive to be a people who are blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom we shine as lights in the world. Again, ultimately, we need to understand that when it comes to having an influence on people, the way we dress will even help our influence as a Christian, or it's going to hinder it. And we need to ask ourselves, when we put on our clothes for the day, will what I'm about to wear, Will it help or hinder my influence as a Christian? But I also suggest to us this morning that when it comes to considering the question of what shall I wear, we need to be mindful of the need that we should wear clothing that will glorify God. You see, do you understand that when it comes to whatever we do as a child of God, do you understand that when it comes to what we do as a child of God, that it's not about us, but rather it's about God and giving Him glory? Do you realize that? You see, too many people, again, even including in regard to the way they dress, they dress in a way that's all about them. They dress in a way that they want to, because that's what I want to do. It's about me. But we need to be mindful that no matter what we do as children of God, it's not about us. But it's about God. And it's about giving God the glory. And when I think about that, I think about how we as children of God need to possess a proper attitude and be willing to do whatever God has instructed us to do. Again, this topic on modesty is not a popular topic. It's not a popular topic, especially amongst the young people in the world today. It's not a popular topic. They don't like to hear it. They don't like hearing the way that they should dress. I've even heard some young people make the statement before, "Don't tell me how I should dress. You're not going to tell me how I'm going to dress. I'm going to dress in any way that I want to, and in a way that makes me happy." Have you heard that? I have. I'm not going to hear it in my house because I'm not going to stand for it 1 minute under my roof. But it's out there. It's out there. I hear people make that statement, especially young people today. But we need to be mindful, again, that when it comes to whatever we do, even in the way that we dress as a child of God, it's not about us, but it's about God, and it's about giving God the glory. And when I think about that, we need to be mindful of the words of the apostle found there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, where he says, "Whatever you do," now watch it, "do all to the glory of God." Whatever you do, whatever it is, he says, "do all to the glory of God." Amen. We need to be mindful of that, brethren. And whatever God has instructed us to do, we need to always seek to give God the glory. And this includes in the way we dress. May we all take the subject of modest dress seriously, and may we as God's children always seek to be modestly dressed each and every day, no matter what time of the year it is, and may we likewise seek to instill this much-needed principle in our children and grandchildren, as we seek to instruct them in the way they should go to be pleasing to God. Again, pleasing God should be our number one priority in all that we do. And maybe there's one here this morning who has not yet submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will, but you desire to be pleasing to God. We encourage you to submit yourself in obedience to the gospel of Christ this very hour. For if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus Christ before men. And you can be baptized this very hour for the remission of your sins. And you too can become a child of God. And you too can have that hope of eternal life in heaven. And may we all always remember the need to always keep on keeping on. The need to continue to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Maybe there's one here this morning who's already submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will, but maybe you haven't been faithful. Maybe you've strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. We plead with you to repent of your sins, confess them to God, and to get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour by asking Him for His forgiveness. And if you'd like to enlist the prayers of the saints here on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this morning who'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whenever that need may be, won't you let that need be made known now while making your way toward the front while we stand and sing the song, Max is Selected.